you might understand, I am setting David aside today to think about the comfort that the Lord gives to those who are distressed and in affliction. I've chosen to preach from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You can find that on page 1326. Listen as I read God's word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that you are partakers of the sufferings, as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. As you know, on Friday, smoke filled the air in Stillwater. It was the smoke of Oklahoma wildfires that were fanned into flames by the winds that reached up to 70 and 75 miles per hour. But it was also the smoke of Stillwater homes that were burning. Four of our own households, four of our own family of faith, had to evacuate because of those fires. And two lost everything. God speaks to us when we go through affliction. I'm so thankful that just last week that Pastor Stephen Mulder was here and he preached on Psalm 34. Our afflictions are many, but God comforts us. God knows, he sees all things. He hears our cries, says Stephen, says David, says the Lord to us. He hears our cries and he answers. He relieves us in our distress. An appropriate message to bring us to days like this. Given our present distress, I call your attention today to Paul's words to the Corinthian church in the second letter that he wrote. God comforts us. Paul uses that word for comfort 10 times in this very short passage. It's sometimes the noun, sometimes the verb, it's sometimes translated comfort or consolation. All of them come from the same word that's being applied to us. So, can you guess what my message is about today? It's comfort. God comforts us. But there's more. We love the comfort that God gives to us, and in our affliction, our eyes are very much about the personal experience of the trials that we are going through. They are weighty and they are heavy, and that's going to be one application I make. Find comfort in God today. But there is more. For Paul identifies a powerful purpose in the comfort that he gives to us, comfort that he gives to you. Part of that powerful purpose is so that you might comfort one another. It's a striking purpose statement that this passage gives. God comforts you so that you might comfort others. And that's where my message is today, that God comforts you. So find comfort in him, but he also comforts you so that you might comfort one another. So comfort one another today. We'll begin with that beginning statement that Paul gives, that God comforts us. This is the very beginning of a letter, so verse 1 starts like Paul often starts his letters. He identifies who's writing. It's me, Paul, and my brother Timothy that are writing to you, the Corinthian church. But then he says in verse 2 words that I hope are very familiar to you. I use them every week as we start our worship service. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every week I use that. It is sometimes called the apostolic benediction. What that means is that it is the prayer of Paul that he is praying for the church, but it's also something of a declaration that he is making. That's what a benediction is, a pronouncement of the Lord's blessing on his people. So we begin our service and we end our service with the pronouncement that God is gracious to you in Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will hear those words not just as so familiar and repetition, but as a wonderful and beautiful part of the worship of the people of God. That by God's design as his representative, it's my responsibility and my privilege to declare in Christ's name, God bless you. That's the beginning of the comfort that God gives and the beginning of Paul's theme here, which is the theme of comfort, comes true beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Paul names God here. It's a very Jewish thing, isn't it? There are wonderful ways that you could go back throughout Scripture and you could find different words, different titles, different names that are given to God that are significant. And so here Paul names God as the Father of mercies. He is full of loving compassion for you. He is full of mercy towards those who are sinners. And he pours that out on you. He is fatherly in this. Fatherly, as we sang in Psalm 103, in showing pity to sinners by forgiving our sins. Not only that, Paul names him as the God of all comfort. He is the one who comforts us in all our tribulations. This is not a God who is just generically comforting. He is not a God who just is comforting in a variety of small circumstances. No, he is the God of all comfort. And he addresses all our tribulations. No matter what those tribulations are that you are facing today, no matter what burdens that you have brought with you today, God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. These names of God often arise out of the very specific experience of the people of God. They rise out of your experience of the Christian life. For each one of you can say, I know that God has shown mercy to me. I know that the Lord has been with me in the midst of all of these troubles. He is here in the reality of our experience. And as we personally go through suffering and pain and hardship, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort shows compassion to you. And this will be a good place for me to just pause and give a quick definition that I'm going to use, a quick definition of what comfort is. There are two words that I want to call your attention to. I want you to know the word in the original language, the word in its Greek, and I want you to know the English word that is used here. They will be significant to help you understand what is being communicated. So the Greek word is one. I'm going to give you the Greek word. I don't do this often, but you'll recognize why. The Greek word is parakaleo. It's a compound word, two things being brought together, that means kaleo, to be called together. Be called together. And the reason I give you parakaleo is because you probably know the word paraclete, another name for God that's specifically given to the Holy Spirit. You know what paraclete means? Comforter. And when Jesus was preparing his disciples, telling them that he was going to go away, he said, "Take courage, because if I go away, I will send the Comforter to be with you. I will send my Spirit to you." And so one of the root meanings of comfort is God with us. And you can immediately begin to see, and I'm going to be building on that, can immediately begin to see why that is a comfort. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort is with us in all of our tribulations. The English word is also a compound word, C-O-N, come, fort, and if you put an E on the end of that, forte, that means loud or strong. And so the coming alongside of someone is a coming to strengthen. Come alongside to make strong. That's what God does. And again, I'm going to be building that throughout the rest of the sermon today. We'll build it by remembering those names that Paul gives and remembering that the rest of scriptures acknowledge that God is full of mercy and compassion, that he is a God of comfort. We sang it in Psalm 103. We read about it in Isaiah 51. "I, even I, am he who comforts you, says the Lord. Who are you that should be afraid of a man who will die and of the Son of Man who will be like grass? Instead, the everlasting God has said, he will be your comfort." Paul also calls attention to the way the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is with you and contributing to your comfort. And he does this by identifying how our sufferings are mysteriously bound up into the sufferings of Jesus Christ himself. It just makes, it ought to be awe-inspiring. It should make you shake your head. Who is a God that would do this? That would take the sufferings of his creation and enter into them to deliver us from our sins, the suffering of sin and death that is on us because of our rebellion, and enter into the consequences of our sins. And this is what Jesus has done in his incarnation and in his redemption. And this is the primary meanings of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. It means that Jesus came to bear our sins and the punishment that is deserved there. And by faith in Jesus Christ, you are united to him in his sufferings. Remember what Galatians 2:20 says? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live in him. There's that union with Christ that addresses the most important aspect of our suffering, and that is that we are sinners and deserving of God's judgment. But the Lord has entered in. The Lord Jesus Christ has entered in to deliver us. So in our suffering, we can look to Jesus who has entered in and suffered for us for our sins. But there is also the fact that union with Christ means that Jesus bears your sufferings. And those sufferings are not just those that are related to the bearing of our sins. But as Hebrews says, we have a mediator who understands the troubles that we face and has indeed entered into those sufferings. He understands our temptation. He understands our sufferings. And he bears them as a mediator before the Lord in prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ bears our sins and bears our sufferings. And being united to Jesus Christ means that there is comfort in our union with Jesus Christ. And now I'll add here something that Paul doesn't refer to, but it runs through his repetitive emphasis on comfort. And I'll just add in the third person of the Trinity at this point. The Paraclete, the Comforter, who is given to us, sent by the Father and Son to be with us. The Paraclete, one who comes alongside us, the one who strengthens us in our afflictions, the one who also mediates in our prayers and helps us when we don't even know how to pray. That Holy Spirit of God is a comforter. That means that as you go through afflictions, that you can look to God and find comfort in him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, knowing that he is with you, and that he will strengthen you in the midst of your suffering. Find comfort in God. But as I said, there's more. In telling you that God is our comforter, Paul has a purpose of directing your eyes to him, but also helping you to see that the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have also made the church to be an exhibit or to be the ones that are also instrumental in accomplishing the comfort of the Lord. For in Jesus Christ, we as brothers and sisters are called together to come around those who are suffering as a family of faith. And so we'll turn to that idea that comes through. God comforts you so that you may be able to comfort others. I want to just walk through this verse by verse to help you to see this. If you look at verse 4, it says that God comforts us, that we might comfort others. And the word that is used there has an identifying marker that says this is a purpose statement. What has gone before, the nature of God, Father and Son, that is a comforter, that drives us so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with a comfort that we ourselves have been comforted by God. What you have received has been given with a powerful purpose. you might minister to comfort to those who are in need. It brings to mind the analogy of the body that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians. I'll ask any of you, but I'll get attention to the young people of the congregation. If you are outside and your dad has a chore for you and he's given you a hammer and some nails to repair something, and you're hammering on that and you whack your thumb, your whole body feels it. In fact, you're going to feel it for a long time. Have you ever turned your thumbnail purple and it takes a couple of weeks for it to finally fall off? And maybe you know what it is as that thumb throbs. Every time your heart beats, you can feel that place where you whacked your thumb. That's the illustration that Paul uses, that when one member of the body hurts, whole body hurts. And we've experienced that. I've experienced that. This family of faith that's gathered around me and my family as recently my mother passing away. I know the comfort of brothers and sisters who have ministered to me and my family. We've gathered around others to pray for healing, gathered around others to weep with loss. We've gathered around others to help in times of need. Whole body hurts when one member hurts. And the whole body gathers around to help, even as God has designed it. He puts you into a body for that purpose. He puts you there for finding the love and comfort of God in his people. Look at verse 5. Paul even compares the comfort that you give one another as representing the love of God himself. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation abounds through Christ. Here that word "for" is another causal word. It explains how we ourselves have been comforted. This goes back to our understanding of what that word means. And it expresses first the forgiveness of our sins and that fact that that fundamental need of ours to be redeemed is expressed to us as ones who have received mercy that is then spread to those around. But it is also a comfort that abounds in us through Christ. We don't just hoard that to ourselves. We do rejoice. We find comfort in the Lord. Don't get me wrong. But our attention is not just selfish. It is bigger than that. For as we have found comfort in Jesus Christ, that overflows then to want to show the same to the others around in need. Evangelistically. Or mercifully in helping those who are in distress. And notice that the sufferings are numerous. They abound. But comfort abounds as well. And the Lord enables us to then abound out of the riches that we have received, to abound in mercy and comfort and help those who are in need themselves. This prompts Paul in other places to just say, oh, the depths of the riches of Christ. And we say the same. Now, in trouble, you may find yourself saying, as maybe you did on Friday or yesterday, I have no idea what to do in this situation. Several people have said, this is surreal, what is happening. I have no idea what to do. How can I be a comfort to those who are in such need? With every situation that we have gone through, you may feel that way, and you may find yourself praying, Lord, help me to bless my sisters and my brothers in their hour of need. That's the right place to start. That's the right place to go to God, who is the Father of mercies, the God of all comforts, and to say, Lord, help me to be a blessing to those in need. Help me to be a comfort. And then by faith, go and weep with those who weep. Remember one of those fundamental meanings of the word? Go be with those who are suffering. Go and show love by your presence. Go and show love by helping in practical ways. Let your love abound through the love of Christ which fills you. Remember that love of God which will enable you to be a comfort to those around you. And verse 6, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, Paul here is talking about his own story. He's saying that Timothy and I have gone through affliction. And the rest of the New Testament will fill that in. And you might just remember how he went into towns to share the gospel, and he was run out on a rail, so to speak. He was stoned, he was beaten, he was ridiculed, he was imprisoned, he was shipwrecked, he was afflicted. Why? For their consolation, for the gospel, so that it might go to those who had never heard of Jesus Christ. And he says that, that's why he says it was for your consolation and your salvation. And there is this aspect of the work of Paul that comes through, so that now his words and our words now and our coming alongside others are used for the same type of comfort, a comfort that brings the light of salvation to those who do not know that, who also come alongside brothers and sisters in Christ who are hurting and need. It brings Christ alongside. It strengthens them to stand. And that comes through in verse 7, where Paul says, our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. And here's where Paul is just interacting with that purpose statement. He knows that he is afflicted for a purpose, that the comfort and consolation of Christ would go forward. That means that God is in this. And that if he's in that, that then he can be assured that the Lord will supply everything that is necessary for that purpose. You may feel at a loss for words. You may feel like you have little to give. Here, once again, think of Paul's circumstance. Not only did he give of himself, but he also received. And he compliments even those who had next to nothing, who supported him in his ministry. And those who had next to nothing, who heard about a famine in Jerusalem, and they gave out of their poverty to help those who were in need. The Lord supplied what was necessary to accomplish that purpose, to comfort those who are in need. I'll close then by directing your attention back to those two words that are used in explaining or defining comfort, a Greek word and an English word. Greek word was parakaleo, from which we get paraclete. It means called to come beside, to be with. That's the greatest comfort of all, isn't it? That God is with you in your suffering. And that in the mystery of God's providence, that he expresses that through the body of Christ and by coming alongside those who are suffering. You are representatives of Jesus Christ, of the Father of mercies, of the Spirit who is the Comforter. And I'll remind you of that English word, comfort, to make strong together. And that's also what comfort is, that since God is with us, we can say, what can man do? What can even Satan do? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This is who we minister when we comfort. We minister Christ. We strengthen those who are downcast and afflicted through practical helps, through spiritual help, through presence, through prayer, being with them, bringing them to see, to lift up their eyes to the Father of mercies, the God of all comforts, the Son who has suffered for us, Holy Spirit who is our Comforter. Pray today that you would find comfort in God and you would comfort one another. Let's pray. Lord God, when we are afraid, we often run to the wrong place. We'll run to things that we think might protect us or deliver us. And we forget, O Lord, that there is one safe and secure harbor in the storm. We can come to you. So, O God, I pray that in the midst of our present afflictions, that we would find comfort in you. And, O Lord, as we do find that comfort, I pray that you would also strengthen us to give comfort to others. O Lord, there are many trials and tribulations. We know of many in our midst, even today. Some are very well known, some are public. Some are unknown. There are those that often suffer silently. So God, help us to recognize those that are suffering. Pray that you would bring us beside them. Pray that we would be with one another in those hours of need. We would give genuine comfort by lifting them up to turn their eyes to Christ. I pray that as we have means, that you would help us to help others, to strengthen them together. Lord, bless us in this hour of need and affliction, and help us to help one another in comfort. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Psalm of the Shepherd, Psalm 23, is full of comfort, because it's full of our Savior Jesus Christ who shepherds us. And it prompts us and enables us then to be a comfort to others. Let's sing Psalm 23b. I invite you to please stand to sing.